Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, on the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's text 24. Shanam Bhojan Homeshu. Japa chara chavagyata. Na chidhyan nakam romani. Kakshopasta gata agatam yapi.
Kakshopasta gatanuni.
Snana bojana homeshu.
Snana bojana homeshu.
Japo chare chavagyata. Na chindhyan na karomani. Kakshopasta gata yapi. Snana, while bathing. Bhojan, while eating. Omeshu, while attending sacrificial performances. Japa, while chanting mantras. To oneself. Uchare,
while passing stool or urine.
Cha, also,
Vyakyata,
remaining silent. Na, not. Chindyat, should cut. Nakya, the nails. Romani, or hairs. Kaksha, in the armpits. Upasta, pubic. Gatani,
including.
Api,
even.
So, purport and translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, held by the devout disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyana Timiram Dasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasma Shri Guruvaya Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vastaya Vidalaya Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vastaya Vidalaya Shri Vridayananda Dasya Swami Shri Bhaktivedanta. So, a brahmachari should always remain silent while eating, attending sacrificial performances, chanting japa or passing stool and urine. He should not cut his fingernails and his hair, including the armpits and pubic hair. Okay, everybody understand that? A brahmachari should always remain silent while bathing, eating, attending sacrificial performances, chanting japa or passing stool and urine. He should not cut his nails or hair, including the armpits and pubic hairs. Purport. Narad Muni gives a similar technical description of the Vedic Brahmachari life in Canto 7, Chapter 12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that doesn't really apply to today's. If we went out and preached and had hairy armpits and long nails, it would look pretty strange. So, this is for time, place and circumstance. The second verse, the next verse, is text 25. Reto nava kiraj jato brahma varta darav svayam Avakrin vaga yas yap pasu yatsus tripada japate. Rete, translation. One observing the vow of celibacy, brahmachari life, should never pass semen. If the semen by chance spills out by itself, the brahmachari should immediately take bath in water, control his breath by pranayama, and chant the Gayatri mantra. The next verse. And I'll just read this one as well, because there's no purport. Purified and fixed in consciousness, the brahmachari should worship the fire god, sun, acharya, cows, brahmanas, guru, elderly respectable persons and demigods, and he should perform such worship at sunrise and sunset without speaking, by silently chanting or murmuring the appropriate mantras. And the next verse, the 27th, which has a good purport pertaining to the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way, and one should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. This verse and this is written by Ridhananda Maharaj, this verse appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 46, and His Divine Grace Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravrajakacharya Stotarasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has commented on this verse as follows. So this is very appropriate because of the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. This verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Krishna, when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society, he was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. And this also includes brahmacharinis, by the way. It's also important for them to also maintain celibacy. This is an important day in as far as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a naistika brahmachari. That means he never ever passed semen in the whole of his life. He was so fixed in devotional service. So this is an auspicious day to remember such a personality. But the point of celibacy is also recommended through the Brahmacharini ashram as well as the Brahmachari ashram. It's important to develop one's spiritual life to give up sense pleasure, sense gratification. And so we have to fix our attention on Krishna and control the urges of the body. Here the purport continues. The spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He's like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parent, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of a spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. The spiritual master is also called Acharya, or the transcendental professor or of spiritual science. The Manusamhita explains the duties of an Acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts the charge of disciples, teaches them Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. A ceremonial performance to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaniti, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought nearer to the spiritual master cannot have a sacred thread, and thus he is indicated to be a sudra. The sacred thread worn on the body of a brahmana, kshatriya or a vaishya is the symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth noting, if worn merely to boast of a high parentage, the duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with the sacred thread ceremony, and after this samskara, or purifying process, the spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about the Vedas. A person born a sudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a brahmana, if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayupurana, an acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all the Vedic literature, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules and the regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of an acharya, there is no activity but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of servant to Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord, of whom we must take shelter. If one poses himself as an acharya but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender. An offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be the direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharyadeva. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize the real Acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide Acharya is none different from the personality of Godhead, and therefore to envy such an Acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subservient to transcendental realization. As mentioned previously, a disciple should always respect the spiritual master as a manifestation of Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one should always remember that the spiritual master is never authorized to imitate the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. False spiritual masters pose themselves as identical with Sri Krishna in every respect to exploit the sentiments of their disciples. But such impersonalists can only mislead their disciples, for their ultimate aim is to become one with the Lord. This is against the principles of the devotional cult. The real Vedic principles, Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master, and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of as his intimate relationship with Mukunda, Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha has clearly defined that a pure devotee's observances of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva is one of the personalities of Godhead exists in turn of their being very dear to the Lord, not identical with in all respects. Following in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have confirmed the same truths. In his prayers to the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all revered scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is very dear and confidential servant of the Lord. Gaudiya Vaishnavas therefore worship Sri Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in the light of his being the servitor of the Personality of Godhead. In all ancient literatures of the devotional service, and in more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered to be either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani, or a manifested representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. So I wanted to start off today with the poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote to his spiritual master on the day of his appearance, and again, understanding that the spiritual master is the confidential associate of Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada felt so close to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So it was on February 25th, 1935, that Srila Prabhupada wrote. It was the 62nd birthday of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati at Jagannath Puri, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was residing, and the devotees observed the day with ceremony. At the small Bombay centre, a few disciples planned an evening observance and invited local people for the occasion. And Abhay Charande wrote this poem. Adore, adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up the candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope is divine grace. Misled, we are all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent prayer. Wander thy ways to turn our face, adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, pain most heavy, the illusions told. Darkness around, all untraced, the only hope is divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute sentient thou hast proved, in personal calamity thou hast moved. This gives us a life, anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right, you have the mace. Save me, a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service, as drawn by you, is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress, miraculous done, a miracle done, your divine grace, Abhay Charande. So that's so pertinent even to this very day. It continues on. Abhay composed a speech which he read before the assembled guests and members of the Gaudiya Math. Although his first language was Bengali, his English was clear and natural. Such a beautiful poem. It goes on to describe that this is sort of the start, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very pleased by Srila Prabhupada's offering, clearly thinking what the spiritual master actually meant to him at that early stage. So now I'd just like to read the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta, his appearance day. Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, made his appearance in Purushottama Chetra, Jagannath Puri, in the state of Orissa at 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday, the 6th of February, 1874. He was born in his family home, which was next to the holy site called Narayan Chetra of Jagannath Temple, and which always reverberates with the chanting of the holy name. He was the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srimati Bhagavati Devi. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur firmly established the concept of pure Vaishnavism in the hearts of many educated and spiritually inquisitive people of Bengal and in the later part of the 19th century. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a beautiful child with all the bodily symptoms of a great personality that are described in the scriptures. Everyone was amazed to see the child was born with an umbilical cord wrapped around his neck like a brahmachari sacred thread. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur named his son Sri Vimala Prasad, meaning the mercy of the transcendental potency of Lord Jagannath, Srimati Vimala Devi. When Sri Vimala Prasad was 6 months old, Lord Jagannath's annual chariot festival took place. That year the chariot stopped in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and could not be budged an inch for 3 days. So while your Lord Jagannath stayed in front of the house, kirtan was continuously performed, and there under the leadership of Srila Thakur Mahashaya, Mahashaya is an honorific title. On one of these days, Srila Vimala Prasad, in his mother's arm, went to see Lord Jagannath, and extending his hands towards the deity as if to offer his obeisances, at that moment a garland fell from the neck of Lord Jagannath and encircled the child. The crowd were jubilantly witnessing Lord Jagannath's blessing on the child amid a tumultuous roar of Hari Bol. Bhaktivinoda Thakur fed Vimala Prasad some of Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasadam and thus observed the child's Anuparsa, or the grain ceremony, the first feeding of grains under the most auspicious circumstances. Sri Vimala Prasad lived in Jagannath Puri for 10 months with his mother and then travelled to Bengal and resided first at Ramgata and then at Shirapurna. Once when Srila Vimala Prasad was a small boy, he took a mango without first offering to the Lord. When his father chastised him for this, he became very remorseful and immediately vowed never to eat mangoes again, a vow which he observed his whole life. In 1881, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a house built at Calcutta at Ram Bhagan and named it Bhakti Bhavan. As the foundation was being dug, a deity of Koramadev manifested himself from the ground. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave this deity to his son Vimala Prasad, and when he was 8 or 9 years old, and taught him the mantra and the method of deity worship. The child duly started his deity worship with great care and devotion. When Vimala Prasad was in the 5th grade, he invented a new method of shorthand which he called Bikanto, or Vikrinti. His teachers were so amazed by his mastery of Bengal and Sanskrit, his extraordinary intelligence and memory, and his pure moral devotional nature. At the time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him the Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita to read. Srila Vimala Prasad also displayed extraordinary ability in mathematics and astrology, and he studied astrology under the tutelage of the famous astrologer Mahesh Chandra Churamani and impressed his teachers with his mastery of the subject. Exceptional talent. He also studied astrology with Pandit Sundar Lal. Seeing his scholarship in many different subjects, including the scriptures, his teacher named him Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, the master of scriptural conclusions. When Srila Saraswati Thakur was a student in the 11th grade at Srimanpur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him Harinam, or holy name, on Tulsi Mala, as well as Sri Nrisimha mantras. So he actually took initiation from his father. In 1885, Bhaktivinoda Thakur founded the Vaishnava Depository, a press which was housed in his home, and Srila Saraswati Thakur learnt about the printing press and began assisting his father in proofreading. At this time, Srila Thakur Mahasaya's magazine, Sajanatoshini, resumed publication. In that same year, Srila Saraswati Thakur accompanied Srila Thakur Mahasaya on his pilgrimage to such places as Kulingram and Saragram. At these places, he heard extensive discussions on the Holy Name. Also in 1885, Srila Thakur Mahasaya established his Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha, Assembly of Vaishnavas of the World. In the house of Sri Ram Gopal Basu in Baitun Row in Calcutta, many well-known personalities such as Magdan Gopal Goswami, etc., attended the meeting of the society and participated in discussions. Srila Saraswati Thakur used to carry the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami to these meetings and listen to the discussions there with rapt attention. Srila Saraswati Thakur was not interested in associating with boys of his age unless they were interested in spiritual matters. His two favourite books were Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur. As a young boy, he published his first books on astrology, such as Surya Siddhanta Bhakti Bhavan Panjitjika. In the afternoon, he spent his hours debating about religion and philosophy with other students in Calcutta, Beacon Square. Later, while still a teenager, he founded the August Assembly. All members of the association had the August Assembly, that's what it was called. All members of the assembly had to take a vow of lifelong celibacy. Many educated people, both young and old, took part in the assembly. So then he went to Sanskrit College and worked in Tirupura from 1891 to 1905. In 1892, Srila Saraswati Thakur finished high school and enrolled in the Sanskrit College. He was more interested in reading many books in the college library than reading his own textbooks. He studied the Vedas under Pandit Pavritta Ranad Sharma after college, and he also studied Siddhanta Kumudi within a very short time. As a student in Sanskrit, he refuted some of the concepts of Professor Panchan Sati Acharya. Subsequently, no one wanted to debate with Srila Saraswati Thakur for fear of defeat, but his spiritual interest did not allow him to stay in college for very long. He wrote in his autobiography, "If I keep studying college with great attention, then I'll be under a lot of pressure to enter family life. But if I'm seen as stupid, incompetent person, then no one will try to influence me towards material progress." Thinking this, I left the Sanskrit college, and in order to live a life of devotional service, I wanted a pious occupation so I could have a modest income. In 1897, Srila Saraswati Thakur established the Saraswat Chattopadhi at Bhakti Bhavan. Many proponents and educated men, such as Lal, Haru, Garish, Shankara, etc., came to study astrology and mathematics there from Saraswat Chattopadhi. Srila Saraswati Thakur published astrological magazines such as Jyotirvid and Brihaspati, as well as quite a few ancient astrological texts. Srila Saraswati Thakur's reputation as a very knowledgeable astrologer spread in the Education Society of Calcutta. Later, Sir Agustu Mukhopadhyay, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Calcutta, said that the chair of astrology at the University of Calcutta would be reserved for Srila Saraswati Thakur. Amazing, isn't it? In 1895, Srila Saraswati Thakur accepted a job with the independent state of Tripura as a scholar and tutor for the royal family thereof. After King Vichachandra passed away in 1896, his son, King Radhakishore Manikya Bahadur, requested Srila Saraswati Thakur to tutor the princes and later to supervise the estate in Calcutta. Srila Saraswati Thakur soon wished to retire from this job, and the king allowed him to do so in 1905 with full pension. Srila Saraswati Thakur accepted that pension until 1908. Bhajan Life and Initiation, 1898 to 1905. Previously, in 1898, Srila Saraswati Thakur had visited different places of pilgrimage, such as Kashi, Prayag, and Gaya. At Kashi in Banaras, he had an extensive discussion with Ram Mishra Shastri about the Ramanuja Sampradaya. During this period, the renunciate nature of his devotional life became very apparent. As early as 1897, he was observing 4 months of Chaturmasya with great austerity and devotion. He would only eat boiled food, which he cooked himself, and slept on the floor without pillows. And in 1899, he wrote various articles to preach Vaishnavism in a magazine called Nivedan, published in Calcutta. In 1890, his scholarly book, Bhanga Samjitkata, consisted of research on a society and religion and was published in Calcutta. In 1897, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur established his own Bhajan Kutir, cottage for reclusive devotional practice, called Ananda Sukhada Kunja, on the Godavari island of Navadvip, on the banks of the river Saraswati. There, in the winter of 1898, Sri Saraswati Thakur met with an extraordinary exalted Vaishnava saint, Srila Gorkhasur Das Babaji, who captured his heart. Saraswati Thakur wanted to take shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Gorkhasur Das Babaji, but by the order of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he surrendered at the lotus feet. Srila Gorkhasur Das Babaji and received Bhagavati Diksha from him in 1900. Shortly before this, in March of the same year, Srila Saraswati Thakur had gone to Remuna via Balavar to see the deity of Kishora Gopinath. Gopinath, who sold the Kishore, or milk pudding, for his devotee, Sri Madhavendra Puri. Then he went to Puri via Bhuvaneshwara. Srila Saraswati Thakur became very attached to the holy city of Puri. His desire was to establish a mutt in front of the samadhi of Srila Haridas Thakur, the sub-register of Puri, Jagabandhu Patanakya, and others requested him to take charge of the service of the deity of Sri Kididhari at Satsang Mutt. In 1902, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to build his Bhajan Kuti, called Bhakti Kuti, near the samadhi of Srila Haridas Thakur. The king of Kashin Bazar, Maharaj Mandanidhi Chandran Nidhi, who was grief-stricken due to some personal tragedy, used to live there in a tent and listen to Harikatha of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Saraswati Thakur. At this time, Srila Saraswati Thakur regularly used to read and explain Chaitanya Charitamrita to the audience in the Bhakti Kuti. In front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during this time, he labored to collect material for the Vaishnava Manjusha, a Vaishnava encyclopedia. One Babaji, Radha Raman Chandra Das, who lived in Puri, had concocted a song, Bhajan Nitai Gora Hari, Radha Shama Japa Hari, Krishna Hari Ram. Srila Saraswati Thakur not only protested against this, but presented a very strong argument and proved it to be inauthentic and against Vaishnava scriptures. This Babaji also introduced Sakhi Veki concept by dressing one of his followers as Lalita Shakhi. This was against Mahaprabhu's teaching, since an ordinary jiva was being worshipped as though he were an extension of Srimati Radharani. Srila Saraswati Thakur was always a fearless and forthright speaker, and thus opposed the Babaji. Therefore, those who opposed him, unable to defeat him in argument, tried other ways to suppress his preaching. Although Srila Saraswati Thakur silently tolerated this oppression, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him to go to Mayapur and practice his bhajan there without obstacles. In Sri Mayapur Dham, from 1905 to 1910, in February 1905, Srila Saraswati Thakur went on pilgrimage to various holy places in South India. After visiting them, he returned to Calcutta and then went to Sri Mayapur. In Paramedvadur, he gathered information about the practice of Tridandi Vaishnav Sannyas from a Tridandi Swami who belonged to the Ramanuja Sampradaya. In 1905, Srila Saraswati Thakur began preaching Sriman Mahaprabhu's message while residing in Sri Mayapur. Following the footsteps of Srila Haridas Thakur, he would take the holy name 300,000 times a day. He would sleep on the floor for only a few hours, eat very simply, and take the holy name day and night. In the afternoon, he would speak Harikatha to the assembled devotees. On some days, he would go to Kuliya to have darshan of Sri Gorkhasur Das Babaji and receive his instruction. Srila Gorkhasur Das Babaji was very pleased to see the great renunciation of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and he used to say, "In my Prabhu, I see the same kind of renunciation that was seen in Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath." Srila Babaji Mahashaya used to address his disciples, Srila Saraswati Thakur, as "my Prabhu, my master." Srila Saraswati Thakur also received the blessings of Srila Vimala Das Babaji Maharaj in Navadvipa. Seeing Srila Saraswati Thakur, Srila Varamsidas Babaji Mahasaya would say, "Someone very close to my Gora has come to me." Srila Saraswati Thakur began his intense preaching of pure devotional service in a society in which the authority of the Brahmanas was unquestioned, and the concept of pure devotion was misinterpreted and mispresented by the imitators of Vaishnavism, the Sahajas. In India, in the 19th and 20th century, most Brahmanas were more concerned about the rules and regulations that were separated from the concept of devotion, and not based on the injunctions of authentic scriptures, than they were about what they were spiritually and morally beneficial for the rest of society. A Brahmana was no longer a person with Brahminical qualities, but simply a person born in a family of Brahmanas. Since the caste system was rotting at its core, it became meaningless and was in fact detrimental to the spiritual and moral welfare of society. The Brahmanas opposed any idea that might threaten their preeminence, which was bereft of any moral and spiritual basis. Although many educated people had lost their faith in the beneficial role of the Brahmana class, they did not know who could take their place. The pure Vaishnava led reclusive lives, hidden from the public eye, and the Sahaja Vaishnavas aroused more hatred and suspicion than respect. In this context, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to establish the principles of Devi Vainashram Dharma, the system in which the service of the Lord is placed at the centre of society. A Vaishnava is respected by everyone else, and one's caste is ascertained according to one's nature, according to one's natural tendency, not according to one's birth. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur caused a lot of ripples to be manifested in his preaching, because this is so strong even in India today, the whole caste Brahmana system. I wanted to just read to finish up. We heard the poem by Srila Prabhupada, and I just wanted to finish up by reading the rest of what Srila Prabhupada had to say about Bhaktisiddhanta to the members at that time, yeah, when he wrote this poem. Abhay also composed a speech which he read before the assembled guests and members of the Gaudiya Math. Although his language was Bengali, his English was clear and natural. "Gentlemen, the offering of such a homage has been arranged this evening to the Acharya Dev is not a sectarian concern, because when we speak of the fundamental principle of Guru and Acharya Dev, we speak of something that is of universal application. There does not arise any question of discriminating my Guru from that from yours or anyone else's. There is only one Guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me, and all others. The Guru, or Acharya Dev, as we learn from the bona fide scriptures, deliver the message of the absolute world. I mean, the transcendental abode of the absolute personality, where everything, non-differentially, serves the absolute truth." Like the poem, the speech was personal, but even more than the poem, it was authoritative, philosophical preaching. The God brothers were impressed to hear Abhay presenting the Vaishnava philosophy so expertly. How is it possible? Of course, it should not have come as a surprise. He had learned the Vaishnava philosophy from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just like his godbrothers. Why should he not be able to enunciate the teachings of his spiritual master? Having heard from him and having read Gita and Bhagavatam and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, was he not a devotee in the parampara? But until now, no one knew he could preach in English so expertly. So this is where Prabhupada was coming to the fore. Prabhupada continues, therefore, if the absolute truth is one, about which we think there is no difference of opinion, the Guru is also cannot be two. The Acharyadev to whom we have assembled tonight to offer our humble homage is not the guru of a sectarian institution or one out of different exponents of the truth. On the contrary, he is Jagat Guru, or the guru of all of us. The only difference is that some obey him wholeheartedly and others do not obey him directly. The guru of whom Abhay spoke, of course, was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the representative of the original compiler of the scriptures, Vyasadeva. Abhay explained how Lord Krishna had delivered transcendental knowledge to Brahma, the creator of a particular universe. From Brahma, the knowledge had descended to Narada, from Narada to Vyasa, from Vyasa to Madhava. Because Bhaktisiddhanta was presenting the Vedic knowledge as is, without any interpretation in the parampara, he is the bona fide acharya who could enlighten others and reveal the knowledge of the Vedas. Abhay Charan continued, gentlemen, our knowledge is so poor, our senses are so imperfect, and our sources are so limited, that it is not possible for us to have even the slightest knowledge of the absolute region without surrendering ourselves at the lotus feet of Sri Vyasadeva or his bona fide representative. We must conclude the darkness of the present age is not due to lack of material advancement, but we have lost the clue to our spiritual advancement, which is the prime necessity of human life and the criterion highest type for the highest type of civilization. Throwing bombs from aeroplanes is not advancement of civilization from the primitive, uncivilized ways of dropping big stones on the heads of the enemies or from the tops of hills. Improvement of the art of killing our neighbors by inventing machine guns and by means of poisonous gases is certainly not advancement for a primitive barbarian priding itself on its art of killing by bows and arrows. Nor does the development of sense pampering selfishness prove anything more than intellectual animalism. The speech continued, describing the horrific consequences of misspent human life and the suffering of repeated birth and death. Again and again, Abhay stressed the need to surrender to the spiritual master. He criticized empiric, mundane philosophers, godless politicians, blind sense gratifiers. He repeatedly pointed to the soul's natural sublime position as a servant of God and as a servant of the pure devotee of God. Abhay, an initiated disciple of his spiritual master for a little more than 2 years, referred to himself as a student and continued. This is Prabhupada wrote this 2 years after taking initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta. Gentlemen, although we are like ignorant children in the knowledge of transcendence, still his divine grace, my Gurudev, has kindled a small fire within us to dissipate the invincible darkness of empirical knowledge, and we are so much so on the safe side that no amount of philosophical argument from the empiric school of thought can deviate us an inch from the position of our eternal dependence on the lotus feet of his divine grace. And we are prepared to challenge the most erudite scholar from the Mayavad school on this vital issue, that the personality of Godhead and his transcendental sports in Goloka alone constitute the sublime information of the Vedas. Such a powerful personality. Personally, I have no hope to have any direct service from the coming cause of births and sojourns of my life, but I am confident that someday or other I shall be delivered from the mire of delusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk. Therefore, let me, by all my earnestness, pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to let me suffer the lot which I am destined to do for all my past misdoings. But let me have the power of reconciliation that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead. Realize through the unflinching mercy of my divine master, let me therefore bow down at his lotus feet with all humility at my command. He submitted both the poem and the speech to the Harmonist. This was the magazine, the newspaper that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj used to distribute. The poem of Abhaya's first publication announced him as a competent writer in English, and Swami Bhakti Pradhya Tirtha, the editor of the Harmonist, informed and dubbed Abhaya as Kavi, or learned poet. Some of Abhaya's godbrothers also picked up the same name and began calling him Kavi. Most of them, even the sannyasis, were not so proficient in English, but Abhay was not ordinary. They could appreciate the poem was personal, written out of Abhay's genuine worship and his joy of having accepted a genuine spiritual master. But it was also written strictly in accord with the conclusions of the scripture. For Abhay, however, the glory of his Sri Vyasa Puja homage came when the poem reached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it gave him great pleasure. One stanza especially made Srila Bhaktisiddhanta so happy that he made a point of showing it to all his guests. Absolutely sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast moved. However, in the simple couplet, Abhay had captured the essence of his spiritual master's preaching against the Mayavadis, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took it as an indication of how well Abhay knew the mind of his Guru Maharaj. Abhay was delighted when he heard that the couplet was pleasing to his spiritual master. One of Abhay's godbrothers compared this verse by Abhay to a verse in which Rupa Goswami had expressed the inner thinkings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had thus moved him to ecstasy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also found the essay pleasing, and he showed it to some of his confidential devotees, and he instructed the editor of the Harmonist, whatever he writes, publish it. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura ki. Gaura Premanandi. Any comments or questions today, Prabhu? So the main... Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about individuals and Ramanandacharya. So what is the... What are
these
different from
Swami and Ramanujacharya? As far as Ramanujacharya, they're more worshipping of Vishnu, as far as I can understand.
Not Radha and Krishna.
I'm not sure if they're not fully Radha and Krishna. I know that's the same with the Madhvaracharya. Madhvaracharya is that, in a sense, they don't recognize Srimati Radharani, which is sort of a bit of a grey area. You know, and it's interesting actually. I just recently heard a lecture by Vridhananda Maharaj where he was saying that it's quite interesting how we call ourselves Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but in actuality, Lord Chaitanya never mentioned any of Madhva Acharya's teachings at all, nor did the Goswamis. Baladeva Jabhushana, who Prabhupada dedicated the Bhagavad Gita to, he did mention Madhvaracharya. So somehow or other, because the Madhva Sampradaya is very different from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but somehow we're linked there somehow. But apparently they don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently they don't recognize Srimati Radharani, and we obviously do. Lord Chaitanya is the manifestation of both Krishna and Radharani. Yeah, but it's not exactly the same. The intimacy is not the same that Lord Chaitanya expressed. Anyways, yeah, I wanted to research that more to see where the differences are. But the life of the pure devotee, I mean, such an amazing personality, and it ties in with what we're studying in Bhagavatam at the present stage about serving the spiritual master and being dedicated. And that's similar in a sense. This whole point of celibacy is such an important thing. I mean, even at an early age, we read as his pastimes here that he set up this thing where, what was it called? The August Assembly. Where, you know, he said, okay, if you want to be part of my group, you have to be a celibate. You know. And that's what we're espousing. Krishna consciousness, we're espousing celibacy for everyone, not just for brahmacharis, for brahmacharinis as well. We want to save that energy. That energy, as it's described in the Bhagavatam today about semen and that sort of thing, from a bodily point of view, this is energy. This is a creative energy. It's a very powerful energy. It has the power to create another living entity, another human being. Such a powerful thing, both in the male and with the female. There's no difference with the female as well. Now, if we utilize that energy in a lower form, and we waste that energy, then it has no opportunity to rise to the top, to actually rise to the center, to the primary chakras, our primary existence, to actually develop the finer brain tissue to understand spiritual life. So it's imperative, and it's not easy in this day and age, in the spiritual, for to be a spiritual personality. But we have to be as resolute and as determined and as fixed up as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was. He saw the need to be a spiritual personality. He saw the need to be really fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the primary purpose for us being here. And so it's important that we really diligently take to this celibacy and really make it a strong conviction in our life. And as I said, it's not easy in this material world at the moment. There are so many pushings of the material energy upon us. We just have to walk out of this place and we're bombarded. But it's a challenge that we have to do. And by surrendering at the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj, then you can do it. You can achieve it. But it's not an easy task. So we have to pray to the Lord to keep us safe and keep us protected to really become pure and develop our Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was just an amazing personality. By the way, he gave up all the astrology. He was one of the most preeminent scholars of astrology. And he just said, this is absolutely useless. So all those people that are into astrology, it's interesting, and we can take some points from it. Some people get caught up with astrology. But generally speaking, it's something that we give up, and devotional service is so much more important. We can find out if we're compatible in marriage, or we can find out if our child's got a propensity towards devotional service. It's okay. It's more entertainment than anything. Because actually, you know, Krishna consciousness is just so overriding. It was recently actually an interesting thing. Somebody was, I won't say who, but somebody was told that if they go to Mayapur, they're going to meet with a very tragic event. You know, they're actually, astrologically, you're destined to have a major event, drastic event happen to you. And being a devotee, and a very, very good devotee, this person turned around and said, yes, well, I'll chant and clap my hands before the deities, and all my palms, all the lines in my palm will change. And that's Prabhupada said that. So what is this astrology? What is this palm reading, fortune telling? It doesn't apply to devotees. Krishna takes charge. And we just stand, chant and dance for Mangalati and clap our hands three times, and all our life changes. We're not bound by any of these things. So Bhaktisiddhanta didn't see the point of it. And he, and also this other point that I found really interesting to show the strength of Bhaktisiddhanta was this mango incident. As a little kid, you know? I mean, how often has it been that, you know, we've come somewhere and saw a juicy mango and gone, and woofed it. And he had that without the thought of thinking about Krishna, and he thought, right, that's it, I'll never have a mango for the rest of my life. Can you imagine that? You know? So this is this incredible soul, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he was the guru for our beloved Srila Prabhupada. And he took him so seriously and followed his message so seriously. And that is the perfect acharya. The acharya just repeats what the previous spiritual master said. And Prabhupada does it so eloquently. And now we see that now we have the next batch of disciples of Prabhupada becoming guru and instructing in such nice ways, you know. When you hear classes like Jananda class yesterday and Bhakti, all the other different gurus that have come through, it's just so uplifting to see this knowledge just coming to the fore, and in so many different ways and permutations, you know, everyone is so different, and but yet the knowledge is coming through, and everybody is so in love with Prabhupada and with the disciplic succession, and you can see it. So any other questions at all? No comments? So we're going to have the program today at 12 o'clock. I am Davey. I can't do the Guru Puja because I'm on the altar. So we're going to have to find something. I think Prabhu might be able to do something. Okay? So So, and then Ajit and a couple of other devotees have made some nice preparations to offer to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and there'll be a feast afterwards, so please try and get some of the remnants of Maharaj's feast and partake in the occasion of Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur ki, appearance day of His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.